Welcome back to the Paracast.
You're in the Paracast, our introductory show for the GCN network. We're doing a special co-host roundtable. We're a band of experts, or ne'er-do-wells, whatever you prefer, is here to tell you how things came to be, what they think about all the weird stuff that's going on. We have Greg Bishop, Nick Redfern, Paul Kimball, Christopher O'Brien, experts all. Paul, looking from the outside, looking in as a Canadian, what do you think about all the government conspiratorial talk?
Well, it depends on what you mean by government conspiracy. Do you mean that the aliens? Do you mean that the government has a flying saucer in a hangar at Wright-Patterson or Area 51? No. Do you mean that Majestic 12 exists or some organization like that that is guarding the secrets, probably along with the Ark of the Covenant and everything else Indiana Jones ever found, to the alien presence on Earth? No. The 1955 Eisenhower story. No, I mean, I could just go down the list and go, no. Does that mean that there are no conspiracies? Of course not. Does that mean that the government isn't involved in some really strange, freaky, sometimes or oftentimes illegal things, often directed at their own citizens? Well, if you don't believe that, you should buy Greg's book, Project Beta. I've become the pimp for Greg's Project Beta.
You mean Project Beta, don't you?
Project Beta, yes.
Project Lovely Beta. Beta. Yes, Lovely and I appreciate Beta. It, Paul.
Lovely Beta.
What was the name of that book again, Greg? It's still available now that we've been pimping this book. We're selling this book, Project Beta. Can we buy it still?
Yes, it's still available on Amazon and on Amazon, I guess, and from probably various used booksellers. It's been out for a while. I don't know if it's officially out of print. It might be, but it's a five-year-old book. It's still out there. And when I have another book to pimp, I will present that one as well.
I'm happy.
I was lamenting today that our friend Mac Tony isn't around because I wanted him to draw a comic book about a day in the life of Nick Redfern. He wakes up in the morning and there's a book on his pillow because he wrote it in his sleep. And then he proceeds to write three or four more books during the day as he's doing various activities and appear on two or three radio shows and television programs. Then at night he's got another book about halfway done before he passes out. That's how prolific Nick is.
Okay, Nick, you know, you're the center of the conversation here. Just how many books have you written about anything?
Well, coincidentally, I had a new book out last week called Monsters of Texas, which is all about cryptozoological creatures in Texas. So
we'll have to do a show about that in the near future.
That was called a synchronicity, you see. Greg brought it up, and it just so happens that I did have a new book out.
And by the way, how much money does Nick owe Greg for this?
Well, I shall pay him in their records.
It's a percentage.
Like,
we've worked out a percentage deal.
Yeah. Fair enough. Of course, that's pretty good. Front end or back end? Because the back end, of course, you never get any money. Seriously, Nick. Okay, so since we dropped your name into the pile here, how many books have you written? Fess up.
About 20, something like that.
Okay, you're getting close to my total. I have 30. Most are technology books that nobody has ever read.
I've got 5.
Not mine. I mean, you wrote 5.
Brad Steig is up to like 170 or something. So.
Oh, heavens, yeah.
Hey, him and Tim Beckley, and then Chris is in second place here with 5.
4 published.
Yeah, Tim cranks them out like a dip daily, literally.
Tim has written about 400 books. Wasn't there, I won't mention his name, some crazy UFO writer who said he was going to do 1,000 books a year?
No, it was a 500 book deal.
I think it varied. I heard it was a 1,000 book deal. But even more so, the fact is, what is it, one word per book? How do you do that?
Well, people,
you know, you have one word
good.
Saying book one, 600 pages that are all blank.
Yeah, with one word. And you got to get a cliffhanger at the end of each one with that one word.
Well, you know, Walter Gibson, who was one of the people who wrote shadow novels in the 30s and 40s, he wrote 300 shadow novels. 300.
I wonder what his wife thought.
Not a lot, probably.
Well, they were short novels. It's not like, you know, it would be a book of about 150 pages or something. It wouldn't be a 300 or 400 page book or something like that. But 300.
It's probably hard to think when you're spending all your time with the pool boy.
You know more about this author than we do, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you wrote 300 books, the wife's got to be doing something.
Well, he died at the age of 88. His name was Walter Brown Gibson, and he was a magician. And, you know, if you look him up, he was one of the people best known for writing 300 novel-length shadow stories under the name Maxwell Grant. He wrote up to 10,000 words a day during his heyday.
Oh,
can you do that, Nick?
Oh, God.
No, I can't.
I think he can.
I probably could, but I'd end up probably a very sad individual if I did. So.
And he wouldn't be married.
Mrs. Redfern would be kicking you in places you don't want to know about.
Exactly.
So, Paul, when's your book coming out?
Well, weirdly enough, I legitimately was supposed to co-write one on the Ghost Cases series, and I more or less kept up my half the bargain, and my co-author didn't. So that book will never see the light of day. But I am working on a book of poetry, but it's not paranormal poetry. So that's all I have to offer.
Oh, well.
I do films. I make films.
Well, you can call each film a book in a sense because it's a complete project. How many films have you done?
How many have I done? 12, 13, maybe 14 documentaries, feature films and stuff. But, one film is probably worth about 5 books given the relative pay rates. So,
I don't want to tell you what I used to get for these computer books. I write these computer instruction books. I did close to 30 by, I said, and I got worn out real fast because they wanted the complete book in like 3.5-4 weeks.
Ooh.
I was going crazy. And one day I woke up and said, I can't do this anymore. I mean, I don't mind writing. I've been writing since I was, 15 years old. But I can't do this. So here I am. This is all I have left, folks. Sorry.
I took a look at my LinkedIn page, and I've done 5 documentaries related to the paranormal and the Ghost Cases series. So 13 episodes, rather, of ghost hunting. There's a fair bit of paranormal stuff there.
Now, you have some new films coming out, one or two of which are straight-ahead movies. They're not documentaries.
Yeah, one of them's weirdly enough, even though I did a feature film, it was about vampires. So
well, vampires are big now. I mean, everybody loves vampires.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they were big in the 30s, too. I mean, vampires are timeless creatures. But yeah, I co-wrote, too, a script with our good friend Mac Tonies, which he didn't live long enough to see the script finished, but based on a short story that he had written a few years ago. So we're hoping that that will be in production in 2011. But, try and keep busy. You can't spend all your time surfing message boards on the Internet about paranormal stuff. It does tend to get a little dull after 5 or 6 minutes.
And of course, if they have a C-level comic book character who really needs a first-class film, his name is Paul Kimball, folks. It's Red Star Films.
Elongated Man. I really want to do an Elongated Man film. And and then maybe we can team up with the Marvel franchise and have Mr. Fantastic meets Elongated Man.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah, jokes about Elongated Men.
Yeah, well.
There used to be a character called Plastic Man when I was a kid.
He's like a lot. He's different, but the principle's the same. These guys who can stretch. So, there's your superpower for you. Comes in handy in a bar, though. I would say if you're in this really crowded bar and you don't want to have to walk to the bar or, frankly, the washroom, stretching is good. Yeah.
I'm not going to touch that.
Well, I should hope not. That would be very
because
rare.
We're just stretching out here.
You do
talking about
show
the
up
things
on the
that go bump in the night and trying to figure out why a film about some character called Elongated Man would work. I think they gave up on the Fantastic Four franchise after 2 films. Okay, so that was it. By the way, this isn't it, but we are talking to Paul Kimball, Chris O'Brien, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop. You're in the Paracast. Hey, neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PowerCast. Once again, use the coupon code PowerCast and sign up at this special address, thepowercast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, thepowercast.com/gator. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset, so try it today. Store it today and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
On air, online,
and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
A special co-host paranormal roundtable featuring Greg Bishop, Nicholas Redfern, Paul Kimball, Chris O'Brien. Chris, you have a film in production, maybe?
Well, I've actually been, I haven't been Mr. Producer, but I have been involved in quite a number of actually ghost investigations and documentary films in the past 6 years. And I am working on something now, which I'm not allowed to really talk about, but I know it sounds kind of weird, but...
I have three expert questioners who are sitting here, and they are going to get this information out of you by hook or crook.
Well, okay, well, let me put it this way. It is a follow-up to our inaugural project called Dead Whisper, which chronicled a crack team of ghost investigators going to some of the more notorious haunted sites in America. And we are doing a follow-up piece to that, but I can't divulge the actual locations where we've already done our filming. But yeah, I am involved pretty extensively in the video production realm. My literary pursuits are my primary focus. I am working on a follow-up to my last book, Stalking the Tricksters, and I'm also working on a guidebook to portal areas in the Southwest United States.
Okay, which is you have to define the word portal areas for people who aren't familiar with that terminology.
You know, I've kind of come up with a formula. Which I think if you use it properly, you'll be able to identify an area of interest in terms of the paranormal. If it's an area that has a history of sacredness to indigenous peoples who've lived there for hundreds, perhaps thousands of years, if there's sacredness attributed to that spot, if there's a fairly well-documented history of unusual events, UFO sightings, crypto creatures, you know, and that sort of thing, paranormal type phenomena, if there's unusual geophysical properties that can be ascertained about the area, whether it's the close proximity of maximum intensity and minimum intensity magnetic earth-magnetic field interaction in close proximity, and if the government has an interest in the area, a presence in the area, and especially if they're trying to expand that presence more fully into the area, you have pretty much, I think, a formula that will give you an indication that a particular region or locale is a potential hotspot, portal area, window area. And over the years, I've done quite a bit of traveling around the southwestern United States, the Four Corners area, and taken quite a bit of notes and video and photographs of particular areas. And I'm putting together a guidebook for people who are interested in maybe doing road trips through the Four Corners area, and this will be a where to go, you know, where to stay, you know, the best, you know, approach in a, you know, depending on the amount of time you have, obviously, but for just your casual tourist to, you know, a real hard-boiled investigator, this is going to be a guidebook for where to go in the Southwest United States. This is something I've been working on for quite some time. I'm really putting it on the front burner so that I can get this thing published and get it out there.
Is this anything like the TV series from the BBC, Primeval, where you might step into a portal area and find yourself in the past, the future, somewhere else?
Well, we don't really know. I think it's an area where you tend to have a clustering of various types of so-called paranormal phenomena. And I think these areas, the Uinta Basin, for instance, around, you know, the Sherman Ranch, Skinwalker Ranch, if you will, would be an example of one. The Sedona area here, the San Luis Valley. You know, there are other areas around the Southwest that can fit into that formulaic sort of scenario. And, you know, it would be great, you know, when I was back in college and doing, you know, setting out on a 26,000-mile road trip around North America, you know, I had this really cool book called Weird America, which was a county-by-county, state-by-state listing of areas where very interesting paranormal-type events had occurred. I'm taking that one step further.
Classic book, if you can find it, Weird America by Jim Brandon. And then he had a follow-up book, which is probably, I think, one of the most important paranormal books ever written, which is called Rebirth of Pan. The subtitle was Hidden Faces of the American Earth Spirit. And I think Chris has probably read that, and I'm sure that Nick has. I'm not sure about Paul.
No.
Sounds like The Trickster by another name.
Well, it kind of is. What it basically does is examines North America from as far back as you can possibly, you know, as he could possibly go when there's human habitation, and examine things like out of place artifacts, meaning things that have been found that shouldn't be there, like things with Greek inscriptions on them found underground in rock strata that's a few thousand years old, and things like that. Things like this have been found all over the United States. And then, as Chris has said, so-called portal areas, places he said that tend to cluster around. He said underground places, places with underground caverns and mines and things like that. That's just barely scratching the surface of it. But and he also talks about the interconnectedness, seemingly, of UFO phenomena, Bigfoot, ghosts, the paranormal in general. And it's the only book he wrote really about specifically about the paranormal besides that guidebook. And it's one of those things where it happens often. Somebody will write one book about the paranormal, this blazing comet, and then they never touch it again. Jim Brandon did that. William Bramley, Gods of Eden, I've always thought was a fascinating book, too. That was the one book he wrote about the UFO subject and then didn't anymore. Keith Thompson's book, Angels and Aliens, which looks at the UFO subject as an evolving system of myth, which is fascinating. That was the one book he wrote. It was excellent, and then he quit. It's happened a lot.
Frank Salisbury and the Utah UFO displays. Very, very good book. Very tough to get, but... again, it conforms exactly with that one book wonder.
Well, sometimes you write the one book and it's not a bestseller, and you want to get back to a normal life. How many UFO books even become bestsellers? People think we're in this crazy field to make money.
I don't think you get into the UFO field to make money. And if you do get in the UFO field to make money, you'll be out of it very quickly.
I know there's some who try, and I think one of the things we've done on the PowerCast over the years is expose a few people. I won't mention their names. They do not deserve the publicity.
Mention them.
Well, you know, you mentioned Sean David Morton, who has had SEC problems. We've had Bill Nell, who sold books and DVDs that he had no authority to sell.
I didn't really care until I found out he was selling a DVD with my lecture on it. Something I had produced in the 1980s, like in 1988, he was selling as his own, and I wasn't getting any money off it. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that do this, and I guess you can make money off the UFO subject if you're unscrupulous enough.
Well, I guess if you don't put any time or effort into it, to making the content, you just go ahead and you use Handbrake or one of these programs that copies a DVD and you make unauthorized copies. If you do that, well, there's no problem then because you're not really doing any work. It takes an hour or two, and you just put it out into the wild. So you can see, folks, that some people in this field do things hoping to make money. I think in the end they don't make money anyway, even if they try to. We have Chris O'Brien, Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop. You're in the PowerCast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Global meltdowns, massive unemployment, endless wars, a new currency crisis, financially and morally bankrupt. A great and terrible storm is approaching. So what's the best way to get ready? To get prepared for hard times ahead. Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent patriots who want practical advice on how to survive and prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Off-the-Grid News is fiercely independent, all about self-reliance, and packed with helpful information on survival gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, herbal medicines, privacy and security, as well as God, gold, and guns, with absolutely no apologies. And the best part? This $100 a year service is now free of charge for our listeners. That's right, free for our listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.com. That's offthegridnews.com. You can sign up for free at offthegridnews.com. Offthegridnews.com.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners, use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio? G-C-N. The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Our co-host roundtable covering the paranormal with Greg Bishop, Nick Redfern, Paul Kimball, Chris O'Brien. We were talking about exposing the fakers. What do you guys think of, I'll mention one movement that's kind of weird that I consider fake, misguided, whatever, exopolitics. Who wants to say something?
Go ahead. Let it loose. Go ahead, guys.
Greg?
Yeah. Well, I'll let Paul go first because I know he's going to do the best one, and then we're going to follow and try and ice that cake, but I'm not sure if we can. Go, Paul.
Yeah, I'll add some sprinkles.
Look, here's my comment on exopolitics. I'm going to sum it up in a nutshell. I'm going to say right now exactly what it's worth, the commentary that we should be putting towards it. Here it comes. Starts with a beep. 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 There you go. Between those two beeps, that's what I have to say about exopolitics.
Okay, the end of exopolitics, and we don't need the sprinkles. We don't need the syrups. We don't need the whipped cream. What about disclosure? There are some people there actively saying, hey, we've got to do something to force the government to tell what it knows. This goes back to Major Donald Keogh in the 1950s. In 1956, he wrote a book called The Flying Saucer Conspiracy. There was a silence group in the government keeping UFO information a secret. So, Nick Redfern, you've covered secrecies and conspiracies and such. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think there is a certain amount of information on UFOs held by, when you say the government, you know, sort of as a quasi-collective term for somebody hiding something. I do think there is evidence that we haven't got to see everything that certain people in officialdom know. Now, the big question is whether or not they're planning one day to disclose it. And, of course, you know, disclosure, we hear these things year in, year out. Disclosure's coming this year. Oh, the election means it's going to be put off till next year, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things I've found with people who are particularly new but enthusiastic about the disclosure movement is that they're woefully ignorant of some of the things that have gone on in the past, which I know Greg will particularly be aware of, where there have been rumors and allegations that government agencies are supposedly going to reveal the truth. Now, this happened supposedly with the Walt Disney Corporation in the 50s, that they were going to be shown or given film footage to show the general public. Then there were stories in the late 70s and early 80s about Air Force intelligence supposedly planning to release certain information to elements of the UFO community to, again, prepare people. The same sort of things happened in the 90s. Really, there's actually enough information there for somebody to write a very good paper on how the whole disclosure movement has had its precursors with these attempts, or quasi-attempts, if you like, on the part of the government to, quote, release information, which conveniently never happens. So I think when you look at it in the bigger picture, then you see a pattern emerging where, to an extent, the UFO community, the research community, has been almost like dangling on a string, so to speak. A lot of people new to disclosure assume that this is just a new thing with the government planning to reveal information. But, you know, I'm quietly confident that in the same way it's never happened in the past, it's not going to happen now. If there is a big secret that's being withheld, I think it'll either surface by accident, that documents get released by mistake and it opens the floodgates, or there'll be a change in the approach from whoever or whatever is flying the UFOs. I don't think anybody in government has a vested interest in revealing the truth, because if there is a big truth to be revealed, revealing it when there's actually no need to, without the aliens landing or whatever, only causes them more trouble. So it's just a completely illogical approach to suddenly open the floodgates and tell everybody, okay, we've been lying the last 60 years. It serves no purpose.
Yeah, so do you really think the government's going to ever admit it lied to people? I mean, the government's perfect,
no.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that would only happen, I think, if, you know, I mean, people talk about the whole fear factor. You know, could it be a case that, you know, perhaps further down the line, there are people in government who feel that controlling the populace via a manufactured threat, that might convince them to do something like that. But just doing it for the sake of it, because they want to, it's finally time to tell the public, to me, that's crazy. You know, governments don't do that. They don't prepare and tell the public because they feel, you know, their conscience has got the better of them and it's time to let us know. That's just absurd.
Governments act in other interests.
There has to be a compelling reason for that. And that there's a, I've talked about this on your show and with all the guests here. My opinion of it is that I don't think the government entities in any government in the world knows much more about the phenomenon than we do. If they do know more about it, they just have more data. They don't know why. They don't know where the things come from. They don't know how to control it. They don't know how to control people's how that interacts with people, but they do know how to control the perception of it, and that's what they can do. I think until there's some compelling reason to reveal part of what is known, that's just not going to happen, and there's not much to reveal in the first place. And if you do reveal, as Nick said, that you don't really know what's going on or how to control it, that's an admission of weakness. And no government anywhere wants to show that they're weak.
Now, what kind of government attitude do you see in Canada, Paul?
What, paranormal UFOs? The government hasn't officially looked into the UFO phenomenon since really the late 1960s, but effectively, you know, sort of the early to mid-1970s. It was eventually transferred. A number of different departments, from the RCMP to the Royal Canadian Air Force to the Department of Transport, various government departments for various reasons looked into UFO cases and different aspects of them. But eventually it was all transferred out, after the Condon Report came down in the late 1960s, to the National Research Council, and then eventually they transferred it out to civilian hands. And it's basically run by a guy, as I understand it, named Chris Rutkowski, a very good researcher out in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And if reports come in, they seem to tend to go to him. He authors co-authors a yearly report up here in Canada on UFO sightings based on the reports that he accumulates. But that's the official stance. In the 50s and 60s, members of Parliament would ask questions. I don't know if anyone's ever checked the congressional records to see whether people would, members of Congress, Senate, or the House of Representatives, were asking questions in the 50s and 60s about UFOs. But I know somebody in Canada has, because I was the guy who did that. I went through all of Answered for about 45 or 50 years, starting in the late 1940s. And you can see that there were a couple of jokey questions, but by and large, when the topic came up, it was taken seriously. And then it all stopped in the late 1960s. Politicians, there hasn't been a single question since the late 1960s asked in the Canadian House of Commons about the UFO phenomenon, except for one. And it was asked about a grant that was given to a researcher to put together a history of the UFO phenomenon. He got $6,000, and a member of the opposition asked the government, well, what are you giving this guy $6,000 for? We have the Condon Report, which basically gives you everything you need to know. So that's a waste of money. That's it. And so it just dried up in the late 1960s, early 1970s, but I think that's true pretty much everywhere in terms of official interest, partly because I don't think there was anything – I honestly think they figured out there wasn't much more they could do. I come from the school of thought that says the government really doesn't know very much more about what these things might be or might not be than we do. If anything, they don't know much more. So there's not a whole lot they can do. I think when they say things like Nick Pope, our friend Nick Pope is always saying, you know, the government found that there was no defense significance. Well, in a sense, I think they're probably right. You know, there's no defense significance because whatever it is, we can't do anything about it. So there's really nothing to defend because we have nothing to defend with. You know, I think that's sort of the attitude that's taken up here. I've talked to politicians. I've talked to cabinet members, federal cabinet members in Canada about the UFO phenomenon off the record at parties. And, you know, they expressed – one guy I talked – I wrote about it. Jeff Regan, who's our Minister of Fisheries, which sounds odd, but
– you know what? Let's have a cliffhanger. That sure sounds odd. This is a cliffhanger. Paul Kimball, Christopher O'Brien, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, you're in the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Wow. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. Wow. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. Wow. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com. Wow.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the PowerCast with Chris O'Brien, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, and before we paused briefly, Paul Kimball had a cliffhanger, please.
Well, I was just saying that I've talked to politicians, I've talked to scientists, I've talked to all sorts of people, lawyers, doctors, about the UFO phenomenon. The idea that it's, and the paranormal in general, I should add, everything from ghosts to near-death experiences, you name it, I've talked about it, and the idea that it is frowned upon or laughed at by intelligent thinking people is patently ridiculous. I think those intelligent thinking people don't particularly want to stand up in front of a crowd and admit that they're interested in it, but they are. And I tell you this quick little story. I was at a gathering of members of my extended family, one of whom was a retired lawyer, one of whom was a retired top test pilot for a major American aerospace company, and another one was a retired senior civil servant for Canadian government. So, you know, these are guys with university degrees who've accomplished an awful lot in their lives, very intelligent people. I won't name them, but let's just say that's who they are. And we started talking about UFOs because Stan Friedman is part of my family, and his name came up. And I asked them, I said, well, you know, what do you think of UFOs? And they all said, well, you know, it's very interesting. We certainly wouldn't rule aliens from Zeta Reticuli out or anything else. And then I asked them because I thought, okay, well, let's find out what they think is really weird. Let's see where the line is. And I said, well, what do you think about the idea of ancient astronauts, the Eric von Däniken kind of stuff? The aliens were visiting here and maybe structured our civilization thousands of years ago. And they went, yeah, could be. You know, that sort of makes sense. And I said, okay, I thought that was going to be the line, but I'll try this one. I said, what do you think about the idea that there was an ancient civilization on this planet, call it Atlantis, for lack of a better word, that maybe was destroyed 10, 20, who knows how many thousands of years ago? And they went, well, yeah, actually, that's probably more likely than UFOs. And I said, well, apparently there is no baseline. There's nothing I can go by here. But those are the kind of conversations that happen all the time. It's like being in a bar and looking at a girl, or if you're a girl and looking at a guy, and you're thinking, oh, my God, is she looking at me? Meanwhile, she's over there thinking, oh, my God, is he looking at me? Because he's cute, and you're thinking she's cute. And the truth is you're both interested in each other, but you're kind of afraid, both of you are afraid to talk about it. And I think that's what the paranormal is sometimes. You know, the guy is interested in the girl is interested in the guy, but they just aren't sure whether they should say anything. And it's okay to come out of the closet or from behind the laughter curtain, folks. There's more of us talking about it with, you know, intelligent people talking about it intelligently than there are not. In fact, if you're not talking about it, then you have something to be embarrassed about, as far as I'm concerned, because it just means you're not thinking.
Chris.
You know, very good analogy, Paul. I absolutely agree with you there. In terms of the question of disclosure and the whole exopolitics movement that we're seeing, you know, I've always felt that the government has been able to accumulate quite a bit more data than we have. I mean, just think of how many thousands of examples of, let's say, gun camera footage of objects being chased by fighter planes and that sort of thing. I think the government has had quite a bit of time to accumulate a lot of data. And I think the amount of data that they've accumulated that is beyond, you know, public awareness is about equal to the amount of confusion that they have about the phenomenon as it relates to our level of confusion. So they know a heck of a lot more in terms of the actual hard scientific data, and that means that they're that much more confused. I think that this is not a subject that they want to ever disclose. I think Brazil, England, France, these other countries coming forward with arguably some sort of disclosure process is taking the heat off the United States, who I think is really the holder of probably the most important of this data. And I don't think it's our government that's holding this data. As I said before, I really have a sense that the military-industrial complex, the aerospace companies, your contractors who are involved with heavy-duty multi-billion-dollar budgets for black projects, I think they're the ones that are probably the ones holding on to the, you know, the deepest, darkest secrets in this realm.
So basically, the corporations that contribute those millions of dollars to the candidates to get them elected, they not only control the purse strings, they control what's going on here.
Yeah. It's been farmed out. The military may have a bit of a leg up on your standard bureaucrat. Your elected officials, I think, would be the last people who really brought into the loop. They have no need to know. I think presidents have been kept out of the loop. To me, I think it's a pipe dream. If anybody thinks that the government, who's been lying to us arguably for 60 years, even if they did fess up and tell us the truth, how could you believe them? They've been lying for 60 years. So to me, it's a pipe dream. And anybody that wastes any time in that particular realm, I think you need to, you know, instead of trying to batter down the front door, you need to be coming up through the basement, through the windows, through the side door, through the back door to gain information. That's why the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, in its limited way, I think has been the real, I think a really important tool that ufologists have utilized. And we got to continue just, you know, taking it one baby step at a time to try to figure out the extent of their knowledge.
Greg.
Well, I think what Chris said about the corporations, you would think that somebody listening would think, well, he's a conspiracy, you know, theorist, and he just thinks that these corporations have all the power. And I don't think that's the reason for it. I don't know. It might be part of the reason. But I think the main reason for it is because the corporations under U.S. law are still considered private citizens, and they don't have to disclose anything. They're not subject to FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, because they're not the government. So that's why I think I agree with Chris that a lot of these, all of the good data has probably been squirreled away there. And that's why I also think, like Chris said, that the answers are not going to come from the government. They're going to come from us and from forward-thinking scientists and people who use their brains and logic to try and figure this out. And I think the breakthrough will probably come from somebody who's not even interested in UFOs at all, some physicist or some sociologist or some mathematician or something that realizes that there's a whole tangential way of thinking about reality that we haven't given enough credence to yet or had enough evidence for that satisfies most people. I think that's what's going to happen. If anything's going to change, like Chris says, it's going to come from outside the government. It's going to come from people looking at the subject in a different way and in a concerted way and maybe in a way that's perpendicular to what most of us have been pursuing for the past 50-something years.
Greg, we're almost at the end of this first relaunch of the PowerCast. We only have a couple of minutes left. Tell our listeners where they can find more of the things that you do.
Well, probably the main place now is Radio Misterioso, which is my radio show, paranormal radio show. Everybody on this show, with the exception of Eugene, has been a guest on that program.
And he never asked me. How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
I'm asking you now, Gene. You have to come on the show. Or UFOmystic.com.
Call my agent.
Yes.
Where's that site?
I will. RadioMisterioso.com. RadioMisterioso.com. Or UFOmystic.com. Nick and I write at that site. Or ExcludedMiddle.com, which is a magazine that I co-edited and wrote for in the 1990s. Which shows a lot of my early development and a lot of influences on my thinking, basically, by the people I interviewed.
Nick Redfern, we know about UFOmystic.com. Where else can we find more about your stuff?
My main website is nickredfern.com, and I do a lot of blogging on various subjects, whether cryptozoology, UFOs, et cetera, and all the blogs are linked at the main website, and I try and update those at least a couple of times a week. So for all the news, reviews, interviews, things like that, if people click on the blog section of the website, they'll find all the stuff that I'm investigating right now.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find you?
We live in a strange planet, so I've come up with a website called OurStrangePlanet.com, O-U-R, Strange Planet. Again, I post interesting news stories that crop up every week, and also you can find out more about my books and other projects that I'm working on there.
Paul Kimball, where can we find you other than the local pub?
Well, I was going to say the local strip club, but you can find me at Orby McOrby's orbemporium.ca, which I have, if you've heard the clicking sound, folks, I've been working on registering that as the episode has been going along. So coming soon to an internet site near you, or redstarfilms.blogspot.com, or Google my name, and the good stuff will come up.
And to find out more about the PowerCast, go to thepowercast.com. Don't forget thepowercast.com, the forums at forum.thepowercast.com. We've got lots of wild stuff coming in future episodes of the PowerCast. Chris O'Brien, Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, thank you all for joining us on the PowerCast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. Looking forward to it. We're going to have some great times, lots of good guests.
The PowerCast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.